Welcome, radio friends, to the Anchored in Jesus radio program. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, the teacher and preacher here on the Anchored in Jesus. And I would like to come to you with a special appeal. We are looking for 100 people to commit $25 a month to this ministry. God has blessed us over the years and has been faithful in providing for our airtime. But now we are coming to our listening audience and asking you to be a part of it. We would like for you to make a one-year commitment of $25 a month. If we could get 100 people, that would take care of the broadcast charges each month. Now, with that commitment, we also have a book that I want to share with you. The title of the book is one that I wrote. It's called 50 Ways to Resist the Devil, and it deals with spiritual warfare. As we look at our life today, we see as believers, we are in constant spiritual warfare. And so this book will help you to develop strategies for dealing with Satan and all of his forces as you go out into the world. 50 Ways to Resist the Devil will be yours if you will commit to be a part of this ministry. We are calling those who commit to give $25 a month anchored partners. And so we want to invite you to be an anchored partner. Now, let me say this. As we have put this ministry together over the years, we have done it all with volunteer support. Those who handle the requests are volunteers. Those who prepare the programs are volunteers. And any funds that we receive, 100% of it goes to airtime. So you can be assured that your money will go to support the ongoing work here at the Anchored in Jesus radio ministry, and it will go to the airtime. So again, why don't you join us in becoming a anchored partner in giving $25 a month? There's a couple ways that you can do this. You can go to PayPal on our website, and that is www.anchoredinjesus.org, or you can make a checkout and send it to P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Or you can call the toll-free number and find out how you can become a monthly supporter of this ministry. The number is 877-831-5060. So we ask that you would be prayerful about how God would have you participate in this ministry. God bless you as you listen to the message today.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, The Blessedness of Brotherhood. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the blessedness of brotherhood.
Upon Aaron was like the Holy Spirit that unified his whole body. Notice, why would he say that came down the head, the beard, dripped down his front? Why go through all that detail? I think he's going through the detail because he's trying to let us know that there was different parts of the body that was affected by this oil, but yet and still it did what? It brought it all together. It brought it all together. And so, when brethren dwell together in unity, that means that it's transcending all barriers. All barriers are being transcended, whether it's racial. One of the beautiful things that I like about Bethany is that we have people here of different ethnicities. You know, that's a beautiful thing. When brothers of different ethnicities can dwell together in unity, it's a powerful thing when God looks at that. You know, I shared a story last night at the concert. I'm not going to share the same one today, but there were some people that were arguing what color Jesus was and what nationality or what ethnicity was Jesus. And the American Indians said that he was American Indian because he had long hair, he liked to go to feasts, And his land was occupied by people who were persecuted. Some people said that Jesus was a brother, a black man, because he had no permanent address. Nobody would hire him, and he couldn't get a fair trial. And finally, there was a group of ladies, and they said that Jesus was a woman. They said he had to feed a crowd at a moment's notice when there was no food. He had to keep trying to get his message across to a bunch of men that just didn't get it. And even when he was dead, he had to get up because there was more work for him to do. Unity. Unity. It transcends ethnicity. It transcends racial barriers, that we all come together. You know, and one of the Wesley brothers, I forget which one it was, he had a dream that he went to hell. And he went to hell, and he saw that over here were a group of Methodists, and over here were a group of Presbyterians, and over here were a group of Baptists. And then in that same dream, he was transported into heaven, and he saw people worshiping together. And he said, where's the section for the Methodists, and where's the section for the Presbyterians, and where's the section for the Baptists? And somebody shouted out, we're all Christians here. We're all Christians here. Unity, it transcends every barrier. That when we look at what's going on in our world today, and we see people trying to be separate and fighting against each other, if we would just seek unity. You know, there's a story that I wrote about in the book, Rebuilding the Fences of Broken Relationships. And the story is about, you remember the flight? It was 370, and it was from Malaysia, and it was headed for China. And remember, it went down, and there was 239 people on board. And nobody knows what happened to the plane. Okay, they haven't found the plane or the people. But in the book, this is what I write. It you know, experts have covered 2.25 million square nautical miles, the area the size of Texas, searching for this missing plane. Now listen to this. The whole world came together. There are 26 countries involved in the search. 3 billion people are searching from their homes via satellite. There was 18 ships, 29 planes, 6 helicopters, and some of the most sophisticated sub-hunter airplanes from various countries that had been directed to that region. All these resources, all these countries, and they came together for what? To see if they could find this plane. For one moment, it seemed like the whole world had come together to unite for a purpose. And when we, as a church, and you as a married couple, and you as a family, don't have a purpose that you are united around, there's a tendency to want to fight about things that are insignificant. Max Lucado tells a story about every year his family would go on a fishing trip. And one year his mother and sister got sick, and they weren't able to go, so his dad told him that he could invite one of his friends. And so he invited one of his friends to go on this fishing trip. Well, they got there, and much like today, it was raining. So, you know, they couldn't fish. The next day they got up, and it was raining, and they couldn't fish. The third day they got up, and a little tension started to arise in the RV. And I remember Max Lucado said in the story that he never realized that his friend's feet stunk. And, you know, I guess after 3 days, you know, you start finding out a lot of things about people. And then by the fourth day, it was still raining. They started bickering. And his dad said, "That's it, we're leaving." And Lucado summarizes it like this. He said, "One lesson that I learned is that when fishermen don't fish, they fight. When fishermen don't fish, they fight. When God's people are not united around a purpose of serving God, of glorifying God, and putting the devil on the run, then we and churches begin to fight." But this unity that is talked about here, it transcends every barrier. And it doesn't, you know, the things that the world and Satan would use to divide, the Holy Spirit and unity brings together. Brethren who dwell together in unity demonstrate a unity that transcends all barriers. Third, he says in verse 3, like the dew of Hermon and like the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. And here he's talking about this mountain, Mount Hermon, that's found in Israel. And in Mount Hermon, what we see, if you go back to that, and this is really not the best picture to see, but what you see up in the mountains, that's Mount Hermon, and it's snow-capped. And the vapor, the sun comes, and the sun, you know, draws the moisture from the snow, and then it allows dew to rest on some of the lower areas. And the places where the dew rests, it's green, it's fertile, there's vegetation, there's life, and it's just unbelievable to look at the landscape and see the dew from Mount Hermon and what it does to the land below it. Well, what does he say? He says that when brethren dwell together in unity, it's like Mount Hermon. And what does Mount Hermon do? It gives life. It gives refreshment. It gives exuberance. It gives vitality. That when God looks down and he sees his people living together in unity, there is a life that is there that's not like any other place. When we think about this dew, you know, we find that there is a fellowship. What a fellowship. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. That when this life is there, when this dew settles from Mount Hermon onto the places below, there's harmony in that congregation. There's unity. There's purpose. There's strength. There's life. And there's productivity. You know, as we look at Bethany, we see that we're moving. And that God is using this church in a great and mighty way. And I propose to you that Satan is lurking in the dark places, and he would love nothing more than to come in and wreak havoc. You know, we're getting ready to build a new sanctuary. That's life. Oh, that's life. You see so many churches here in Pittsburgh that are closing down, and the buildings are becoming big empty buildings. But here we're building. You know, we have the opportunity to impact this community in a great way. And as time goes on, it's going to become more and more clear the role that Bethany is going to have in turning Homewood around for Jesus Christ. There's life here. Oh, it's like the dew that descended from Mount Hermon. You know, I said it before, and I'll say it again. I remember there was it was like maybe 10, 15 days straight I had been here. And I remember a comment to Deacon Savito. I said, "Boy, this church never sleeps. This church never sleeps. There's something that's going on." Last Friday night, we had the Homewood Children's Village. Parking lot filled up. And they came in here, had a get-together. This past Friday, we hosted the Homewood in Wilkinsburg clergy right here at Bethany Baptist Church, to talk about how we can work with the kids that are coming from Wilkinsburg and going to Westinghouse. There's life. There's life that's going on. And I tell you that Satan would love nothing more than to come in and disrupt this life. And like I said earlier, he's going to do it through individuals. Through individuals. So that's why, saints, we all need to keep ourselves in check. And go back to Bob and John. Was that the two names I gave? Bob and John. And the way that they came together and worked that thing out, man. God said, look, that's what I'm talking about right there. There it goes. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. There it goes right there. That's what I'm talking about. Number four. Like the dew of Hermon and like the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. If you look at this verse, it says what? That's where God commands his blessing. God don't bless a mess. God is not the author of confusion. God's, if your home is filled with chaos and conflict and confusion, the blessings of God are not on your home. I'm just going to tell you the way that, because it says right here that where does God command his blessings? He commands his blessings where there is unity. And that's why, man, people, if people would just learn to submit to God and to allow his word to rule in their homes and allow the presence of the Holy Spirit to work in the lives. And even, you know what, even if you got rebellious people in your home, that if you honor the word of God in your home, that God will bring his blessings upon your home. He'll bring his blessings upon it. And notice what it says here. It doesn't say, there the Lord gently sends his blessings. There the Lord encourages his blessings to go. Notice what it said. There the Lord, what? Commanded his blessings. Now we don't have to be military geniuses to figure out what command means. If an officer commands a soldier to do something, that means that you better do it. You know, that there's no questions. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about the situation, but you command them to go. And in my sanctified imagination, as I always reflect back, God's blessings are lined up in heaven. Financial blessings. Health blessings. Relationship blessings. Church blessings, community blessings are just lined up in heaven, standing at attention. Standing at attention. And when God sees unity, peace, go there. Finances, go there. Relationships, go there. It says that is where he commands his blessing. And notice that it didn't stop there because it said, and what are the blessings? Even life forevermore. What does that mean? That means that whatever situation you have to deal with, God is going to bring life to it. He's going to bring life to it. If you got a dead, dried up marriage, and you try to come together in unity around the Word of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now, again, I know it takes two people to do this, so God's going to command his blessing. His blessing, he's going to give life. He's going to speak life to that situation. He can speak life to that which is dead. And if we will just come together in unity, that God will speak life. As I close, if you go to the next one, there was a story in National Geographic, and it was about these musk oxen. And what the musk oxen would do is that they would form a circle, especially around their young, because they knew that there were predators that were trying to devour the young. And so they would form this circle, and that whenever the predators would try to come, because they would always prey on the weak, the musk oxen would kick out, and eventually the predator, the enemy, would go away. Well, on one occasion, the enemy came, and one of the oxen, for whatever reason, left. And when one left, the others left, leaving the young vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. And so I remember I preached a sermon years ago, and the title of the sermon was, "Don't Break Rank." Don't break rank. Because when you break rank, you give the enemy an opportunity to come in and devour what, whoo, what's this? What, the Lord just gave this to me. That whenever you break rank, you give the enemy opportunity to come in and devour what you have given birth to. Wow. Whenever we break rank, we give the enemy the opportunity to come in, and let me state it even different, and to devour what God has given birth to. That's why unity is necessary. You go back, personal consideration taken from rebuilding the fences of broken relationships. Do I actively work to promote unity in the home, in relationships, and in the church? If so, how are you doing it? If so, how are you doing it? Do I see those around me as teammates and soldiers? Or as adversaries? We all on the same team. We might have differences, but we're all on the same team. And as somebody said, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Do I understand how God blesses? Do I understand, based on this message today, do I understand how God blesses when unity is present? Do I understand how God blesses my home? Do I understand how God blesses my business? Do I understand how God blesses my community group when unity is present? Do I know what it takes to promote unity and harmony? Do I know what it takes to promote unity and harmony? Am I willing to accept the differences? Now, notice I didn't say the sins, but am I willing to accept the differences of others for the sake of harmony? That we're all different. We all think differently. Sometimes we view things a different way. But am I willing to accept the differences for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of the gospel? And do I pray like Jesus prayed, that there would be unity among his followers? Again, the night before Jesus was crucified, he said, "Father, I pray that they would be one, even as you and I are one."
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of What Do You Have When the Lord Is Your Shepherd? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, The Blessedness of Brotherhood, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Blessedness of Brotherhood. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Blessedness of Brotherhood. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Today's teaching is part of a larger series of messages from the Book of Psalms. You can request the entire 24-part series from our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or by calling 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, there is a downloadable brochure on politics that can help you parallel your political views with God's Word. Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books, For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.